We mentioned last week that the Gemara says in the first Perek in Dav Zayin that before you bedek the chametz, you have to recite a bracha. The Gaonim have a machlokes with the later Rishonim regarding the bedikah of chametz. Is it permissible to be mafsik in the middle of the bedikah? So several of the Gaonim write in their tshuvas that you're not allowed to be mafsik from the time that you say the bracha al be a chametz till the end of the bittul, because that's what the mitzvah consists of. And it's a haberik tzach shivato. The Gemara says in the first Perek, right after the bedikah of chametz, you have to do an act of bittul. So you're not really finished with this part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is going to have two different parts. One part is going to be the bedikah with the bittul tonight, and the other part is going to be the biur, the destroying of the disposing of the chametz tomorrow morning. So the bracha that you recite tonight should relate to the whole ma'isa mitzvah of the bedikah with the bittul. So it's not proper to go and say to me mafsik until after you finish the bittul, and you give a mashal amad al adayna to the Gemara in brachas. The Gemara says that when a person puts on the tefillin, he puts on the tefillin shal yad, he should not be mafsik until after he puts on the tefillin shal yad. So the bracha will go on both. If the person is mafsik, then he's required to say another bracha over the Shal Rosh. We say you have a machlokes if you're not mafsik. So Rashi's opinion is that you only say one bracha on the tefillin over the Shal Yad, and that covers the Shal Rosh. Rashi Nitam and Tosfos and the bracha says no. And under normal conditions, you would say one bracha on the Shal Yad, on the tefillin, one bracha on the Shal Rosh, on mitzvahs tefillin. If the person is mafsik, can it be the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh? Then he has to say two brachas before he puts on the Shal Rosh, both on the tefillin and on mitzvahs tefillin. But the Gemara says, however you understand the Gemara, Imar says that that you're not permitted to be mafsik, so that the bracha will relate on the second ma'isa mitzvah as well. So here also, the person should not be mafsik between the bracha that he recites and the gemara of the mitzvah. The Rif in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes this argument from the Gaonim regarding Tekiah Shofar as well. That the Gaonim made the same statement regarding Tekiah, same as by Bedikas Chametz. You shouldn't be mafsik until after all the Tekiahs are over, because the marshal from Hanachas Tefillin. So the Rif argues the point, and that's what many Rishonim argue, that there's no comparison by Tefillin Shal Yad, Tefillin Shal Rosh, two distinct mitzvahs. So you want to kill two birds with one stone, you want to cover two mitzvahs with one bracha, so that requires you shouldn't be mafsik. The Ikad Din of Hefsik is in between the bracha and the Haskolas Ma'isa HaMitzvah. So the Rishonim give a marshal, let's say a person eats bread, so he says Hamotzi Lachem Min Haaretz. So if he talks in between the bracha and the first swallow of bread that he has, so then he has to repeat the bracha again. There's a diyun in Achrayim. The Magen Avraham says that on chewing bread you don't have to say a bracha, on chewing food you don't say a bracha, only on swallowing food. So the Magen Avraham says that people have a practice that they say a bracha and then they put the food in their mouth and start chewing. They start talking right away before they even swallow. The Magen Avraham says the bracha of Atola, and they have to say the bracha over again, the Nagyotzi, because chewing doesn't need a bracha. The bracha wasn't chal until after they swallowed. And some tried to farem for the Minika Olam to say that maybe it's not so bad, that if they only chew and they spit it out, then you don't require a bracha for chewing alone. That's correct. But if they chew and ultimately they do swallow what they're chewing, maybe I can consider the chewing the haschala of the haschala of the achila, in which case I'll say that it wasn't a hefsek, it wasn't so much of a hefsek. The Rashash and the Dorim tries to be miyashiv the minig oilim that the Magen Avraham complains against. Magen Avraham says that it's absolutely wrong and you have to repeat the bracha if you spoke after you started chewing. The Rashash tries to tone it down a little bit. Anyway, for achila for sure it's not right. So the din is that after the person takes the first swallow of bread, or let's say he says shahakal and he eats chicken or whatever he happens to be eating, so after he swallows a little bit, he's permitted to talk. There is no halacha that you're not allowed to talk till after you finish eating everything. So we heard the same thing over here. You see that the brach only has to be mitzurif to the haskolas or achila. And if you're mafsik, you make the brach and haskolas or achila, then you have to say another brach. Let's say mafsik Dvorim Shehem Letzarach Asuda, he says Havi Melach, Havi Sakin, or something like that. So then, but yeah, but the Gemara says the brachas, it doesn't have to be Chayza Mevorach. But you have to avoid that also. And if he's Mafsik Dvorim Shehem Letzarach Asuda, then he has to repeat the bracha. So the same is true the Rishonim Taina regarding mitzvahs. If the person would be Mafsik between the bracha and Haskolos Ma'isa Mitzvah before he begins to blow the first Tekiah, so then he has to say the bracha over again. Plus his mafsik with Torah had kids. He says, Havi Shofar Acher. He says, get another Bal Tekeh, I can't blow. I get the Amasa, I don't know what I'm supposed to blow. He says something with Torah had kids, then the evidence wouldn't be a hefsik. But a hefsik shalom with Torah had kids would be a hefsik. But in the middle of the tkiyas, that should be like in the middle of eating, that it should be heter gomer, should even be mutar lachatchila to be mafsik. Why is there, why, how can there be a shita in goyim that even b'diavad you have to repeat the bracha by tkiya shayfer, like by tefillin? What's the comparison? By tefillin, the tefillah shal rosh that you're going to put on later is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So if you're talking between the shal yad and the shal rosh, you're being mafsik in between the bracha and the haschol of maisa mitzvah. Mitzvah shniyah. But over here, it's in the middle of the maisa mitzvah, so either should be mamsh the same as achila, that it's even mutar lachatchila to talk in the middle. Or at least that b'di'evad you shouldn't have to repeat the bracha. So that's the same achlokes that the Rishonim have over there by Tkiya Shofar, they have repeated over here by the B'dikas Chomes. That the Goyim say, you know, not allowed to be mafsik till the Gemar HaBdika, which includes also the Bittul, till you recite the Bittul, but it's also Shevaka. And the later Rishonim argue that they don't see that this is so. They say, maybe it makes sense not to be mafsik, because you'll pay better attention to the B'dikas Chomes. If you're not talking about anything else other than B'dikas Chomes, so you'll be paying more attention. You're going to be talking about everything else under the sun, so you may not pay sufficient attention to the B'dikas Chomes. But to say there's such a severe chumer that you have to repeat the bracha, ad kedei kach, they're not prepared to say. Anyway, it's clear from the Gemara that the B'dikas Chomes we discussed last week, the B'dikas Chomes is not only to avoid violation of Bayura, by Martin, to avoid violation of Shem Yavol Yochlo, to avoid violation of Yisra Achila, it's also a Kima Mitzvah, either Medir Abonon, or perhaps even in Atera. The Haskolas Habiur is the B'dikas. That's probably why the Mishneh Berurah quotes a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. Chelek Arachayim, the Chasam Sofer just says it. He doesn't give any hesber for this. He says, what if you have a big apartment and you have a couple of rooms and you're going to leave chometz there? In the cabinet where you're going to leave the chometz, there's no need to be by the chometz unless because chometz. You know that cabinet is all full of chometz. The rest of the room you are going to be by the chometz. But why should the person, let's say, has a 14-room apartment? Why should I be? I don't need so many rooms on Pesach. Let's say a couple of rooms. I'll lock up. Sure. I'll lock up the rooms and I'll lock the cabinet. I'm not by the chometz. So the rooms that I don't plan to use on Pesach, I'll lock them up. And I'll rent them. I plan to rent them to the guy. So just like whatever I plan to rent to the guy, the cabinet I plan to rent to the guy, I don't have to be by the chometz. So the rooms I plan to rent to the guy shouldn't have to be by the chometz. Or maybe even make it better. When it comes Leil Yudalit, I'm chayiv to be by the chometz. So let me rent it to the guy ready on Yom Yud Gimel. Let me rent it ready to the guy, because on Leil Yudalit I plan to rent it to the guy, but I didn't rent it yet. So let me rent it to the guy on Yom Yud Gimel, and I'll be patur from doing the b'dikas chometz on those rooms. So is that acceptable or not? So in Intim Salama, that's acceptable. So let's say the guy's going to his in-laws, he's going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. He doesn't plan to come back. He's not going to use his apartment. He didn't prepare any food for Pesach. And even if something comes up, he's going to have to come back. He's going to stay by his parents. He's not going to stay in his own apartment. He's going to stay by the in-laws. Whatever. He's going to stay somewhere. He's not going to stay in his own apartment. So maybe he should rent the whole apartment away. Save himself the whole headache. Rent away the whole 14 rooms. Rent away the whole apartment and not be paid a chometz at all. So the Chasam Sofer quotes the tshuva from the Mishneh Berurah, quotes the tshuva from the Chasam Sofer in the middle of Hilchos B'dikas Chometz, where he says that as long as you leave some room out, as long as you leave a room out that you're going to be paid a chometz on, you can rent all the other 13 rooms to the goy. That's okay. But if you're going to rent away all 14 rooms to the goy, you're not going to be paid a chometz at all. So then you mevatel the mitzvah. That's not right. What exactly is the hesber hadover? It makes a difference whether you rent 13 out of the 14 rooms and you leave one room to be bodik, or you rent all 14 rooms. What's the difference? He doesn't explain it. I'm guessing Mistam is the same difference as we have the practice all along. Let's see, we have a ton of chometz in the house. So what do? 99% of the chometz we sell to the goy, and then 1% of the chometz we destroy. So what's the hesber hadover? How come we sell? Why don't we sell 100% of the chametz to the goy? Why do we save anything to destroy it? So Mistama, the answer is that we won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah of achrei yomrishin tashbisu cannot be fulfilled by selling the chametz to the goy. The mitzvah is fulfilled by destroying it. Tashbisu means not by getting money. Let's say you're going to eat the chametz. Are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu by eating the chametz? There's a humorous expression that the Baal Amor has. The Baal Amor says that yes, when you eat the chametz on air pace, ein lecha hashbasa k'day l'mizu. He says that's the best form of hashbasa. And then he writes even a lashon that even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then ein bir chametz ala b'sreifa, it gets burnt up in your system. It's a little bit humorous. What? Learn it out from Noisar. So that's also called Eish means a fire. No? I don't know, even if you'll burn it in a microwave oven. Let's say you put something in a microwave for too long, the stomach gets burned. I don't think you'll be Yotze Sreifa with that. Sreifa means a fire, not with some getting it consumed, getting it burnt up without a fire. You have to have a heft of an ash in order to be Yotze the Mitzvah. In the body, there's no, it doesn't get burnt up. The Pashtus is not like the Balamar. Pashtus is like Tosfos. Tosfos says the Pharisees that you're not in fulfillment of Tashbisu if you eat the Chometz. This is right, the Tashbisu, we spoke last week, the Tashbisu is both a Kiyum Essay and a Nisar Essay. That's why you say the Bracha Al Bir Chometz. Obviously it's a Kiyum Essay. You don't say Bracha when you do something to avoid violation of a Nisar Essay. But Tashbisu is both a Kiyum Essay and a Nisar Essay. And Tosfos says the Isar Essay is that you shouldn't eat the Chometz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. That's the Isar Essay. Not eat the Chometz Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because it's understood that Tashbisa means you should destroy it, not in a fashion of getting Hanoah. If you're going to, let's say, burn, if you're going to sell a Chometz to a Goy, then you're getting Hanoah. So that's not the fulfillment of Tashbisa. Tosfos understands that by definition, the word Tashbisa means Shaloi B'derech Achilu, Shaloi B'derech Shal Hanoah. Tashbisa means Hashbasa, to destroy it. There's even a Machleika Satanoim. The Gemara quotes in Sochem, the Machleika Shema Sechus HaVerizor. Let's say a person will be Mefare Vizorah LaRuach HaMata LaYam. So Rabbi Yudah held Zain Bir Chom Tzela B'Sreifa, the Chachom Hala Hashbasasa B'Chol Dabo. It's called Hashbasasa B'Chol Dabo. So you grind it up, you flush it down the toilet, that's good. Or Zorah Mata LaYam, you throw it into the ocean, it's going to get all soggy, all ruined in the ocean. Fine. What if you're going to be Mefare Vizorah LaRuach? And then the Ruach will, not in the city, New York City, you'll be Mefar Vizal Ruach and a farm. Years ago, there used to be farms. There's still some places where there are farms in the world. So the farms, if you're going to have Mefar Vizal Ruach, this stuff may serve as fertilizer to cause something to grow better on the farm. Not on my farm, on someone else's farm. But it's going to be Derech HaNoah. So the Gemara in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah raises the objection. Afu Nasa Zevel, Umezabel Sodas Acheris. So if it's going to serve as fertilizer for farm, how can you call that Bior Avodah Zarah? The Gemara makes a comparison between Hashbasas Avodizor and Hashbasas Chometz, Kodem HaPesach. So, Bior Avodizor means Shalai Boif and Shal Hanoah. Not that you should get Hanoah out of it, not that you should not get Hanoah, no one should get any Hanoah out of it. Gamli Gamlach Lo Yir. No one should get any Hanoah out of it. So, if I'm going to be Mefar Zola Ruach, and it may possibly serve as a fertilizer to improve the growth of some of the vegetation on somebody's field, so then one Tana argues that that's not called the Hashbasas Avodizor, Bior Avodizor. The other Tana I'm home. I don't know what's going to happen, because a far-fetched possibility, something like that may happen, so it's already called not a fulfillment of a deer of a Rizor. But you see such a svarah from the Mishnah, that's where Tosfos himself got the svarah from that Mishnah of a Rizor. Imam Sochen quotes that Mishnah of a Rizor, that if you're going to be majbis de Abu Rizor in a form that you're going to get Hanor from it, then it's not called the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisa. So how does one fulfill the mitzvah? You have chometz on Erev Pesach. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbis? You have to get rid of it. You have to dispose of it. So how come we sell 99% of the chometz and we only burn? The Mishnah Berurah says you should be careful that you leave over kazayis to destroy. How is that enough? But what about the other 99%? So the Pashtus is, it's not considered a fatter and a bigger and a better mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah Yosef Mishlei Musa if the person burns a ton of chometz as opposed to burning 1% of the ton of chometz. Let him sell 99% as long as he has left the kazayis, and then he's going to destroy, he's going to burn that kazayis, he'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. One could perhaps argue the case and say that he has to see to it that he first sells the 99% of the chametz first, and then he should burn the 1% of the chametz. If he's going to first burn the chametz, let's say the Ramos says in Hilchas Pesach that if he daven in the early minyan, the Hashkama minyan, let's say at 5:45 in the morning, and then you finish davening at 6:01, Whatever time they finish davening Erev Pesach, they make a Siyum Chorus at 6:04. Let's say you eat you have your schnapps and you have your cookies, then you want to burn your chametz at 6:06. So the Ramah says that's okay, you can burn your chametz in the morning. That's the issue we mentioned last week. The Kes Mishnah had two pshatim. The Kes Mishnah, the end of Paragalef and Chametz and Matzah had two pshatim. How to read the Mishnah? The Sor from Metchila Sheish. Do you take it literally? Sor from Metchila Sheish? Or no? We don't follow that. Sor from Metchila Sheish. He burned the Sof Chomesh. Once he say the Sof Chomesh, that there's no requirement that this Sreifa should be Achazmani Surah, so that it can be at 6:05 also in the morning. So the Ramah says if you want to, you can burn the Chometz in the morning also, before you go to work. Yeah, the Ramah wrote this in the 1500s before they had the institution of Mechiras Chometz. They didn't have such an institution. They didn't have such a thing as breads and cakes and spaghettis that could last for a long time. That schnapps that they had, that schnapps and beer they had. But they didn't have such an institution of Mechiras Chametz. Everybody signed up with the rabbi, and the rabbi told everybody's coming. That's a much more recent development. As Klal Yisrael goes through the history, we keep on solving more and more problems. So we figure out they had the Mechira for Shnas HaShmita. We figured out Nir Liakim to solve all the problems of Shabbos. We're solving all the problems. How to observe Torah in the 21st century. We're working on everything. The Siyum Tainus Pcheres. Years ago, they really used to fast on Erev Pesach. People really used to fast. And then in the days of Nadav Yehuda, they came up with a patent that they'll always have a bris on Erev Pesach. But how can you always secure that you're going to have a bris on Erev Pesach or not? So that whenever there would be a mila, there would be a nitche, whenever there would be a bris mila, that the baby wasn't well, they had a postpone, so they would save the bris for Erev Pesach. In order that they would have, why should the rabbi have to learn all mesichta? Even a short mesichta, satircha, so they would save a bris. And Nadav Yehuda has a tshuva where he's very opposed to that. He says for two reasons, very short truth. He says, number one, he doesn't think that it's permissible to postpone, even though the bris is in nitche, you're not allowed to further postpone. Rav Avram has a long attack against that. He says, you're mevatel mitzvah. Every day that you postpone further, every minute you postpone further, you're mevatel mitzvah. That's number one that Rabbi Yehuda says. He doesn't think you're allowed to postpone further. Then he says, number two, he's not so convinced that the sudas bris mila, when it's in nitche, is enough of a sudas mitzvah to allow you to eat. He thinks maybe you're not allowed to eat. Maybe it's only if it's a mila bismana. Maybe if it's a party by mila shlev bismana, maybe there's no head to feed. So obviously they didn't have the institution of a siyum on Tainus Chores. That's a later development. Some genius in the later generation, Einstein or someone on that level, came up with this idea, make a siyum on Tainus Chores. And practically you don't have to fit. I remember Rabbi Tendler told us years ago that there was some rabban who had made a siyum, who used to make a siyum on the Orach HaShulchan Hilchos Pesach. It wouldn't make you see him on a mesichta. The Orach HaShulchan has a lot on Pesach. That's more than a lot of mesichta. The Orach HaShulchan on Hilchos Pesach is so big. It's more than Hyrius. It's more than Makis. More pages. More words. So there were some rabbanim that would make you see him on the Orach HaShulchan on Hilchos Pesach, and that would be the see him on Tainus Chores. Anyway, so this institution of Mechiras Chometz came up after the days of the Ramah. Mishnah Berurah quotes it already. It's around 150, 200 years old. Didn't really exist in the days of the Ramah. In the early years, the liquor manufacturers, the schnapps manufacturers, used to have a Mechiras Chometz. Or the Tosefta talks about a Mechiras Chometz. The Jew is traveling on a boat, and he's going to be on the boat for another 2 months. He's going from one place to the other. Not such a place. He's going to be on the boat for 2 months, and he needs food. So he took a long bread and so on. And then he has to sell it to the goy. He can't dispose of everything before Pesach. He won't have any kosher food left. Hatanishkin Breira. So then, Belez Breira, he sells the chametz to the goy on the boat, if there's a goy with him, and then he buys it back here for Pesach as well. So the Sharoshim, the roots of the whole institution, appear in the Tosefta. But in the days of the Tanoim, it was only practiced in rare instances. Now, Bizman Azeh, we have it by everybody does the Mechiras Chametz done. And Igdalim were opposed to it. So it could possibly be that the Eitzah that the Ramah says, if you want, you can burn your chametz at 6 o'clock in the morning. That could well be that that's only before the institution of Mechiras Chametz. But if you're going to do Mechiras Chametz, so what do you accomplish by burning 1% of your chametz, and then you still have 99% of the ton of chametz? And how are you going to dispose of that? By selling it. The rabbi is going to sell it for you later on in the day. If he first sells 99% and then you have left a little chametz, a kezais, and then you destroy that, then you mevayer that chametz, so that's a fulfillment of tashbisa. But it could be that if you reverse the order, first you destroy a little bit and then you sell the bulk of the chametz, it could be that that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah.
The person doesn't have his own army or his own chametz, buy chametz and
do the mitzvah? That's this Minchas Chinuch raises such a possibility. He says that maybe there's an Indian to go out on Erev Pesach to buy some chametz. If you don't have any, maybe you should go buy some chametz in order to have, like there's an Indian to go buy an arba kamfis in order to put on tzitzis. Strictly speaking, if you don't have a four-cornered garment, you're not mechayev to put on tzitzis. It's a mitzvah shel tanai. Let's say if I don't have a home that has a roof, so I'm not mechayev to buy a home in order to make a market. Not mechayev. Or if I sleep in the park, I'm not mechayev to go rent a home in order to have a chiyuv, buy a home in order to have a chiyuv mezuzah. It's a conditional mitzvah. If you live in a house, then you have to put a mezuzah. If you have a house with a roof that you use, you have to put a mark. But the Rishonim say on the Gemara in Menachos that there is an inyan to go buy a four-cornered garment in order to put yourself in a situation and the circumstances where you're obligated to put on tzitzis. So that's where the Minhas Chinuch raises a possibility. Maybe everyone who doesn't have any chametz should go buy chametz on Erev Pesach in order to have what to destroy. The Pashta says that's not. The Pashta says that it's like, let's say, my firstborn child was a girl. So should I go divorce my wife in order to marry another woman in order to try to have a boy in order to get taken up? Then I may lose out the second. I have to divorce the second wife again. Then the third wife may have a cesarean. Then I have to marry a fourth wife. Keep on going. So maybe that's too much. Maybe you're not mechuyif so far to go on the fourth wife. Maybe to get rid of the first wife. Maybe you are mechuyif in order to try to have to get on. So the answer is probably not mechuyif. Ish mechuyif. Ish mechuyif. So that's the question. Some mitzvahs you say that it's an inyan to put yourself in a situation where you become obligated to observe the mitzvah. But other mitzvahs you say nothing, I'm mechuyif to put yourself. So that's what the Minhas Chinuch raises the possibility. Maybe whoever doesn't have chametz should go put himself in a circumstance and buy some chametz. But the Pashtus, they assume that not. The Pashtus, they assume that that it's not like tzitzit. No, so when I sell a chametz in the morning, of course, in the afternoon it's an iser. Taisa says the iser esef tashbisu is in the afternoon. And with the Rabbanon, an hour before the afternoon. The Yisano begins b'shor shishis. But before, we have a chametz before the shor shishis, so there's no iser. The iser essay of not to be nene from the chametz, not to eat it, not to sell it, that only begins after chatzos min haTorah. Or an hour before chatzos min the Rabbanon. There wouldn't be an iser, but there wouldn't be a fulfillment of the mitzvah either if you sell it in the morning. So if you want to fulfill the mitzvah, so last night he said a bracha, I'll be a chametz. But if then all the chametz that you get, you're either going to eat it, are you going to sell it? Then you're not going to have anything to destroy. So what do you say, brach al biyah chametz? Brach al avatolah. If you're not going to lead up to any deer. So you have to leave over a kazayas and burn it. So the Pashto says that this is not considered a haromah. Let's say if I'll sell all of the chametz. That's not considered a haromah, using a legal fiction in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah. If I sell all of the chametz and I don't leave anything over to destroy, that's a haromah in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu. But if I sell 99% of the chametz and I leave over one kezayis, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah on the one kezayis. What? It's a bigger mitzvah, it's a fatter mitzvah, it's more b'shleimus if I burn a ton of chametz, as opposed to just burning a little bit. No, you just burn a little bit and it's the same, however much chametz you happen to have left. That's the mitzvah to burn it. If you have less than a kezayis, there's no mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah says leave over kezayis, but you can sell the 99 or the 999 kezayis to the goy beforehand. And then burn the one kazai. So the Pashtus probably is that that's what the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva is driving at as well. That the Bedikas Chametz is also a mitzvah, either mit the Rabbanon or Minatera, that's the Haskol of the mitzvah of the Biur, Bediko Biur. So if I'm going to rent a whole 14 apartment, the whole 14 rooms of the apartment to the Nochmin, I won't do any Bedikas Chametz at all. So I've done a Harameh in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah. So that's improper. But if I'll only rent 13 rooms of the apartment to the goy, preferably I'll rent it to the goy ready on the 13th of this. And the Chasam Sofer is even makel if you plan to rent it. Leil B'dikas Chametz, you already have a mizin, you already have a mind to rent it to the Nochri in the morning of the 14th. So he says, but I'm only renting away 13 rooms in the 14th room, I will fulfill the mitzvah B'dikas Chametz. So that's like a chere that he doesn't make the mashal, but a chere that's the same as selling 99% of the Chametz, leaving over one kazayis in order to fulfill the mitzvah on the one kazayis. So harama on that would be okay. Rav Soloveitchik, Zechanu Baruch, he used to be machmeh, he used to tell the balabatim in yeshiva every year, he used to have this like a hang-up. He used to insist that you're not allowed to sell the chametz b'yen. That's what it says in one of the achronim, the Tzvu Ashor. The Tzvu Ashor wrote a sefer on Psochem on Shas, that's called Teres Chaim. So the Teres Chaim has like that, based on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara Masech HaShabbos says that harama is only permitted on the Rabbanans and harama is not allowed on their rights. Maran Shabbos is talking about a different thing. Maran Shabbos tells a story. There was a Talmud Chacham who lived on this side of the river, and there was a ferry that went across every day free of charge. I guess the people paid taxes and everything was covered. You didn't have to pay for using the ferry every time you want to use it. So there's a, and this Talmud Chacham lived on this side of the river, and his fields were on the other side of the river, and he was interested in taking a look on Shabbos, see what's doing with his field. He wanted to go take a walk there. How did he get from one side of the river to the other? So he's going to go on the ferry. But you're not about to go on the ferry. There's a din, ain't shotten up in our mind. Ain't shotten usually is mistranslated that you're not allowed to go swimming. The Gemara says in Perek Hira, in the third Perek of Masechet Shabbos, that that's also included in the Issa. But the original Issa, that's lischos. Loshut is a different thing. Loshut is to row a boat. And Shatan Apnei Amayim, for example, the Mishnah says that the father, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the father has an obligation to teach his son Loshut Abamayim, how to row a boat. It doesn't say how to swim. So that's the literal translation. How to row a boat is Loshut. Chavish El Shayatim. Chavish El Shayatim means a boat, a shayat is an oar. The Gemara says it's also included in the Issa that you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos. But the main Issa is you're not allowed to row a boat on Shabbos. They may fix the broken boat. If you want to go swimming, what are you going to fix? You're going to sew up your swimming trunks. Whatever. So the Gemara says the Ika, the Mishnah really talks about going on a boat. So you're not allowed to go on a boat on Shabbos, even if the boat is being driven by a goy. You're not allowed to go on a boat. So the Gemara tells a story in Masechah Shabbos that this Tzurim of the Rabbanon, this Talmud Chacham, the ferry was going to go at 12:15. So he went on the ferry at 11:45, and he may believe that he's taking a nap. And then at 12:15, the ferry takes off, goes to the other side of the river. Goes to the other side of the river, reaches there 12:45. All of a sudden he jumps up, he wakes up from his nap, and he jumps off with a boat. It was Techa Tchum, there was not Talmud Chacham. And he goes for a stroll on the other side. Oh, he's strolling. As he's strolling, he's allowed to take a walk on Shabbos. As he's strolling, he takes a look. What's going on in his field? Check. So he took care of it. So one of the Balabatim saw what was happening. So he complained to the Talmud Chacham's Rebbe, what kind of Mechal Shabbos are you raising in the yeshiva? He goes on a boat, on a ferry on Shabbos. We know that you're not allowed to do that. So the Talmud Chacham, so the Rebbe said about the Talmud Chacham, no, it's okay. It's the whole Issa is only Midirabbanon. The prohibition of going on a boat is only Xer Midirabbanon, the Mishnah Deitzo, and a Tzurva Midirabbanon is permitted to do a Haram on an Issa Midirabbanon, implying that a Balabas is not permitted to do a Haram even on an Issa Midirabbanon, and a Tzurva Midirabbanon is not allowed to do a Haram on an Issa Deraisa either. So that's what the Tvua Shor in the Sefer Teres Chaim, I'm talking quotes from that Gemara, that you only allow Mechiras Chometz in order to avoid by Rabbi Matzah, that's an Issa Deraisis. And Mechiras Chometz is only a Harama. It's a legal fiction. Harama means a legal fiction. It's legal. Legal, but it's only, you're only selling it in order to buy it back. In the normal course of events, you're not interested in selling the Chometz of a Harai right after Pesach, you buy it back. So that's only called a Harama. So you're only allowed to do a Harama on a Derabbanan. Only a Tzurf from a Derabbanan is allowed to do one on a Derabbanan. So how can you do a Mechiras Chometz on real Chometz Bien? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to recommend to all the Balabatim every year in Boston and in New York and in the Yeshiva. He used to always repeat this. You're not allowed to sell Chometz Bien. He said when it comes to Taruvus Chometz, when it comes to Taruvus Chometz means if it's less than 50% Chometz. But then he said you can rely on the Rabbeinu Tam, the beginning of Elo Avrim, the third Perek Im Sochem, who has the opinion that Bal Yeroa Bal Yimotzei on Taruvus Chometz is not derais. There's a machloek, it's how to translate the words Elo Avrim bePesach. And the Mishnah proceeds to mention Taruvus Chometz. So Rashi translates Elu Ovrim B'Bal Yoreh B'Bal Yimotzeh. The following Chometz products, if one keeps it around the house, will be in violation of B'Bal Yoreh. And the Rabbeinu Tam says it doesn't mean that. It means Ve'Elu Ovrim Me'al HaShulchan. The following food should be removed from the menu. On Pesach, he should take it off of the table because you're not allowed to eat it. And maybe there's B'Bal Yoreh Me'der Rabbanim, but there's no B'Bal Yoreh Derais. B'Bal Yoreh Derais Alek. That's Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say from the traditional Achrenim. It wasn't his invention. He said that a lot of Achrenim have such an idea that on Chometz Bien means where the grain content of the mixture is more than 50%, that's Chometz Bien. Then there's Bal Yoreh Deraisis, it's selling the Chometz Bien Haram Anadin Deraisis, which is not permissible. But selling Chometz and Taruvus Chometz, that's ready Haram Anadin Derabanan, that would be permissible. He said you can rely on the Rabbeinu Tam who holds that it's only Bal Yoreh Derabbanan to allow Harama. Yeah, the question is, so you should only allow Tzurim Derabbanan to do Mechiras Chometz. So only Talmid HaChachamim can do Mechiras Chometz. But all the Balabatim sell the Chometz. So that's why they sell through the Rabbi. But the Balabatim is not allowed to do Harama on the Derabbanan. Only a Tzurim Derabbanan is allowed to do Harama. So what's going on? So the Pashup Shat is that Gemara has nothing to do with anything. That's what the Nesivus writes in his Tshuvas. In Nachlas Yaakov, Simon Aleph, the first Tshuvah the Nesivus writes, the Nesivus wrote a separate Sefer on Hilchas Pesach that's called Mekor Chaim. And it has them. Now they printed the Mogen Aleph, the Haoris on the side. So he writes that in his Sefer, in the first Tshuvah was sent to the Buchotcherov. Buchotch is a little village in Galicia. So he writes that the Buchotcherov didn't like the heter of mechiras chametz. You shouldn't sell chametz. So the Nesiva says, I wrote in my sefer that it's mutter, and my psak was accepted all over Europe. If you don't like it, say, don't sell your chametz. But I hope you realize that everybody holds from my psak. That's what he wants. Why? He doesn't really explain it to us. So the pashtus is that that's not a problem of haromim. If you sell all of the chametz that you have, and it turns out that you don't destroy anything, then you're doing a haram in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisa. But that's not a common practice. Nobody sells all the chametz. You sell 99% of the chametz, you leave over it more than a kezayis to destroy. So your haram is not in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisa, but rather tashbisa you're going to fulfill. If you sell 99% of the chametz, you'll fulfill tashbisa on the kezayis. The haram is done in order not to have to destroy the 99% of the chametz, in order not to violate by your rabbi matzah, it's a harama to prevent you from violating a vaisasin. A harama in order not to violate an avera. It's not a harama in order not to have to fulfill the mitzvah sasin. The mitzvah sasin, the end of the story is going to be, I am fulfilling the mitzvah sasin. I'm fulfilling on a kezais. There's no bigger mitzvah to burn a thousand kezais. Whatever I have left, that's what I burn. So I'm burning one kezais, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. The harama is that I won't be in violation of Bayur Bay Matzah and the whole ton of Chomet. The harama, in order to avoid violation of Eloi, says the Alfi Pashtus is certainly permissible. We only say harama is not proper on Mitzvah Sese. Harama on Eloi Sese is permissible. That's how Tesis distinguishes. In the beginning of Chorus, on the Abgimon on the base, Tesis says, Bizman Shetis Hamig Bishoya Kayom. The Gemara says that it was highly improper for a Jewish farmer to enter into a shutfus with a goy on the Behema Hamavakeres expressly for the purpose of becoming potter from the din of Bechor Behema Torah. If he has a business with a goy, so that's not haram. His partner is a non-Jew, so that's not haram. But if he only enters into the partnership specifically for the purpose of being potter from the problem of Bechor Behema Torah, so that's called a haram. So you're not allowed to do that bizman shebeis hamikdash hayikayim when you have an opportunity to be makriv the b'chor b'hem Torah al gabi hamukdash. But bizman hazeh, Tosfos says, not only is it permissible, it's a mitzvah we recommended that all the Jewish farmers should make a shutfus with the Akum. Why? Because bizman hazeh, we don't have the opportunity, we don't have the possibility to be makriv the b'chor b'hem Torah as a korb. So what's the whole issue of b'chor b'hem Torah? It's an Isser. The firstborn male will be born, and it'll have Kedushas Karban, and will be prohibited from shechting it until it gets a mum, and will be forbidden to make a mum. It's also lahatal mum be karbanis. So you're not allowed to make a mum, you're not allowed to shecht it till it gets a mum. This time somebody will violate the din of Me'ila by mistake. Somebody will use the animal to work with it, or someone will put his jacket on the animal, somebody will ride on the animal. It's also begiz of Avaido, the b'choyer behema tohera. Until it gets a moment, you shecht it, has an Isar Hanor, either Menatorim, or the Rabbon, or whatever. So you want to do a shut for Sakum in order to prevent somebody from violating this Avera, of being Nene from the animal. So it's a Haram in order to avoid violation of an Avera. It's not a Haram in order to avoid being fulfilling a Mitzvah Sese. The Mitzvah Sese of Hakrovas B'chor Be'ema Tohiro, Ben Kovako, you can't fulfill Bizman Hazeh. Even if you won't make the shut for Sakum, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you can't fulfill the Mitzvah. The haram is in order to avoid violation of the loisess. It's a Tosfos says, Adarab, but we would recommend it. We would encourage all the farmers to do it. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We encourage all the Jewish farmers to do this haram in order to avoid the violations of somebody being moil behegdish accidentally by mistake. So the pashtus is that that's the word by Mechiras Chometz also. This is a haram, and if you're going to sell all the chometz, you're going to rent all the whole apartment to the guy, and that's going to do any bedika, any biur. Then it's a haram in order to become potter from fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. So that you're not allowed to do. But if you rent 13 out of the 14 apartments and you sell 99% of the chametz, leave over one room to be baidik and leave over one kezayis to do biura. So then you are fulfilling the mitzvah. And the fact that you rent, that you're renting the 13 apartments, that's a haram in order not to violate bayura bay matzah. I won't be having chametz in my apartment. I rented the whole 13 rooms to the gosh. Or the fact that I sell 99% of the chametz to the goy, that's a haram on the loy sesi, that's okay. I think Gemara and Shabbos is a totally different thing, the Posh of Shabbos. Gemara and Shabbos are under ma'isa. The Tzurvim of the Rabbanon went on the ferry, he was outright in violation of the Issa of the Rabbanon. He was riding on a ferry. He made it look like an accident. But he's a faker. He knew that he was going to cross the river with the ferry. And then he made believe he was sleeping, then he made believe that he woke up. So that's outright in violation of the din. So how are you allowed to do that? That's what the Balabatim asked to his Rebbe. He's in violation of the Yisr in the Mishnah. And the Rebbe said, look here, it's not a Malacha Derais, it's not even a Malacha Midrabbanan. It's a Gzeira. You're not allowed to do this Dabra Amuta lest this will lead to a Dabra Ha'asa. So Bamed Vamamurim, the Gzeira makes sense, Bamed Vamamurim, by Balabas. He doesn't know the din. By Talmud Chacham, they really shouldn't have made such a gzeira, that he's not allowed to do the Dovra Amuta lest Shemi Yisak Mechavish El Shayot. He knows what he's allowed to do, he knows what he doesn't allow, he's not allowed to do. But you can't allow all the Talmud Chachamim to whoever, every Talmud Chacham who knows the reason for every gzeira will be permitted to violate the gzeira because the Hashash doesn't apply to him. So the Gemara has an expression, Yomer Kol Asreikan Asurin. Asreikan advises Mitorin. The Gemara says on Pesach, you're not allowed to make fancy cookies. Because Harisha Shoya Aleim Amach Mitzos, until she's going to make the fancy design on the cookies, it's going to turn into chametz. If she uses potato starch, if she's using matzah mel, it can't turn into chametz, even if she leaves it there for an hour. She'll leave it all day long. But this Mana Gemara, they used to use regular flour, like the bakery, like the matzah factory uses regular flour. They don't use matzah mel. They use Pesach to get flour, that if you leave it, if you mix it with water, it'll turn into chametz. So in the days of the Gemara, if you're going to use this Pesach to get flour, not matzah mel, not potato starch, and you're going to spend too much time making the tchotchkes and the fancy designs, it'll turn to chametz. So the Gemara says there was a fellow, Bises, who had a special defus, he had a special form. Like today, all the women have their special form. When you need a lot of dough, you want to make cookies, you press the form. 1, 2, 3, you make 50 cookies in a half a minute. So you can make a lot of cookies with the form. So in the days of the Tanaim, he was the only one. Bises was the only one who had such a form. So he wanted to know of the Tanoim, is he allowed to make these fancy cookies on Pesach? Because it's not going to take so long for him. The reason for the Gzera de Rabbanon doesn't apply. So the Gzera shouldn't apply. So the Tanoim said, no, they can't allow some people and prohibit other people. Because the Balabatim won't understand the Chilat. Yomro, they'll say, call us Reikan Asurin. It's Reikan Baisis Matorit. How will we be able to explain this to the Balabatim? That no one is allowed to make fancy cookies except for Baisis. So go tell them that Baisis has a fancy form that he does it quickly. So every Balabas will say, well, I also do it quickly. I do it faster than Bises. So everyone will judge on his own that the reason doesn't apply to me. So many of the people will violate the Issa Chametz. So here also, by the Tzurim of the Rabbanan, you can't say that Talmid HaChamim don't have to observe any of the Gzeiras of the Rabbanan because they know what's awesome and what's mutter. So they'll only do what's mutter, they won't do what's awesome. So we can't allow that. But Aliba Demis, it should have been mutter. So if the Talmud Chacham makes it look like an accident, that's what it means Haron. He makes it look as if he fell asleep on the ferry at 11:45. He's sunning himself on Shabbos morning, 11:45. And then the ferry takes off at 12:15, and he makes believe he's still sleeping. Then when it comes 12:45, lands on the other side of the river. All of a sudden he wakes up, makes believe that he wakes up. So the Balabatim will think that he didn't realize what happened. So since he made it look like an accident, and the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, so that's mutter for a Tzurim of the Rabbanan to do that. But that's only mutter on a derabbanon. On a derais, of course it's not mutter. It's not even mutter on a malacha derabbanon. It's only mutter on a gzeira derabbanon. On a malacha derabbanon also we wouldn't allow it. What? The Talmud Chacham is allowed to violate malachas derabbanon. True, the malachas derabbanon were also instituted as a gzeira shema, lest they come to violate a malacha derais. But that's only the reason for the prohibition. But once they instituted the prohibition, so they said that this act constitutes a malacha derabbanon. So the Tzurim Rabbanon can't do it either. But by Gzeira de Rabbanon, let's say you're not allowed to go on a ferry on Shabbos. So you can't say that going on a ferry on Shabbos is considered a violation of Misakin Mona mid the Rabbanon. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be a violation of Misakin Mona? He just walks on the ferry and the goy drives it to the other side. The goy is driving it anyway, because most of the passengers are goyim. There's only one Surah Rabbanon. So how can you say, you can't say that that's a Misakin Mona mid the Rabbanon. So the most you can say is that it's a Gzeira. Shema Yisakin Chavish Al Shoyot. It's Gzeira Lesti. You're not allowed to do the Dovra Mutter. Going on a ferry is Mutter even the Rabbanon. But they said, we don't allow you to do this Dovra Mutter, which is not a Malacha, lest this will lead to Misakin Mona. So since it's only a Gzeira and the Rabbanon, so if the Tzurim of the Rabbanon knows the reason for the Gzeira, and he's going to be careful, and he makes it look like an accident, then the Chashash of Yomer Kol Asreikan Asur and Asreikan Baisis Mutarin doesn't apply. That's the only case where you say such a word, that Haram is only Mutar under Rabbanon. That kind of Haram is Mamish in violation of the Gzeira de Rabbanon. But in our case, we allow a Haram under Derais also. Here it's a legal fiction, but it's legal. There it's illegal. There the Torah Rabbanan's mom is going on the ferry. He's in violation of the Din de Rabbanan. So we say, well, it's only prohibited because of the loyplug, because of the Yomer Kol Asrek and Asur Asrek Bais Matorin. So let him make it look like an accident, and he knows in his mind what's also what's muta. He won't fix the broken boat. He won't do any malacha misak and manan. So in such a case, there's no chashash of loyplug. But over here, everybody's allowed to do the mechiras chametz. You do a mechiras chametz, it's legal. It's not illegal. It's a legal fiction. A legal fiction is muter. On a lois eser, on an eser, you're not allowed to do. Harom on a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do. But harom on an iser, the pashtus is that you are allowed to do. That's why the minhag olam is that. The minhag olam is that we do sell. Most people do sell mechiras chametz, either chametz via.
How wide can we extend that? Meaning, there you're trying to avoid the lab.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the alternative? Either you tell Jews not to own animals, or you let them do this. Here in this case, there's an easy alternative. How to really get rid of all of it? But that's not wrong. So, I mean, is that head of there? Can we find out the gamrei for comments? Is it dafka because it's starach and has to go?
That's what most poskim hold, that even though there isn't a great tzoruch at all, they still allow harom. That you're allowed to do harom. The quote of Vilna Gaon was opposed to the whole institution of mechiras chametz because it became so commonplace already in his time, in the late 1700s, 200 years ago, late 1700s, that the people thought that it's just like a nusach, like a tizman. They didn't really realize that they're selling the chametz, that the chametz belongs to the goy. They thought that if you do this, then you can have chametz in your rishus. It's not you can have chametz in your rishus. It's like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer about the heteriske, that the businessmen think that a heteriske is like a mishaber, like a yihiratzon, like a tchina. Make a heteriske, then you're allowed to charge interest. You're not allowed to charge interest. A heteriske is a business deal, and you have to realize that you may lose your pants, you may lose your money over here. If you don't realize that you're going to lose your money, then the heteriske doesn't help. If you write it in Hebrew and you sign it, and you don't really, both parties don't fully understand what's going on. So he says there is no heteriske. So the same over here. Mechiras chametz, if the goy doesn't really understand, you get a Puerto Rican super and he doesn't understand mechlav what you're talking about. You just give him, you wave a dollar and he says, okay, whatever he says is good. And he doesn't have to sign anything. So what kind of a mechiras chametz is it? Or the Jew doesn't really understand what he's doing. The Jew, the balabatim don't understand what they're doing and the goy doesn't understand. So the Vilna Gaon was opposed to the whole thing. That's why the goy wouldn't need any chametz. He was chayshish that his chametz shavah l'bal pesach. He wouldn't need any chametz where they had relied on mechiras chametz. Not just that he personally wouldn't go for mechiras chametz because it's haram. That's not why. Haram is lechatchila. You shouldn't do haram. According to the Tvor Shor, according to the Torah Chaim, you're not allowed to do haram. It's an isa lechatchila to do haram on a deraisa. But it doesn't say that the yevid you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gaon was choshesh a different thing. There's no gemiras das on the whole mechira.
Does that be a contract for you exactly what you're selling? And assume you're by saving you're allowed to sell chametz. I mean, when you have stuff in the cabinet, you know exactly what you're selling. You're allowed to sell whatever crumbs happen to be floating around under my couch and not worry about cleaning it up. Assuming you're not going to be there. You're going to lock your apartment and not be there all the time.
But if you're leaving within 30 days, then you still have to do the bedikas chametz, unless you want to rent 13 rooms and be waiting the 14th room.
That's the thing. Assuming you're going to be kind of, besides the speaker, you have to do
bediki. Yeah.
But assuming
you have to do bediki at least on one room. That's what the Chasam Sofer said. You have to do at least bediki on one room, and then you can perhaps rely on renting the other rooms to the goy. Right. But if you're going to rely on renting all the rooms to the goy and not do any bediki at all, then you're mevatel the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. And bediki is the haschol of the mitzvah of the bir chametz. Has a discussion of we mentioned before about the matzah companies make the matzah from Pesach Dik flour. It's not matzah mel. The matzah mel, the Gemara says, is not bolo dechimus. The Gemara says once it was. The Gemara Lama Tesson the base says Tana Rabbana right after the Mishnah. Elu dvarim shein boim ledechimus. The following things cannot turn into chametz. It says how afui if something was already baked. and then you grind it up and you make matzah melt and you mix in water, so it says it cannot become chomet unless you didn't bake it well, so it's half raw. It's a different story. If it's half raw, so now by putting it in the oven you will evaporate all the water, so it's not going to be bolo de chemet. But then if you're going to soak in water later or chew it in your mouth, so then the saliva may cause it to become chomet, because then it's going to join with water again. That's the whole chumrah that the Hasidim started, not to use gidroks on Pesach because of the chashash that maybe it's not baked well. What it says in the Gemara, that's because in the days of the Gemara they baked it so well, everything was all oizgebacken, everything was well done. But maybe bisman hazeh, maybe they leave the matzahs half raw, so maybe there's a hashash of gibros. There's a sefer Minchas Yehuda on Shas. A thin sefer, Horus on all of Shas. The Mechaber learned by Harusa with the Nachal of David. He writes in the introduction that the Nachal of David knew how to learn better than him, because the Nachal of David was born in a community that was closer to Vilna, so the influence of the Vilna Gaon had already extended that far. And he was born further away from the Vilna, so the influence of the Groz Derech HaLimud was not yet felt, so that's why he didn't know how to learn so well. And then he defines what was the influence of the Vilna Gaon, the difference in the Derech HaLimud. So he says the difference simply consists of the fact that the Gaon introduced, you should go Menakala Lakovit, you should teach first Tanakh to the children, Chumash, and Tanakh, and then Mishnayis, and then only afterwards Gemara, and only afterwards Shulchan Aruch. And in the other communities, like by Satmar, Ado Yom Hazeh, they teach little children Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham and the Yoredei with the Shach, and they don't know what the Gemara says. They don't know what the Mishnayis say. So they're reading a Shach. Shach's making a calculation whether you're passing like the Smag or like the Sharidura, like the Ador Sharidura. They don't know what it says in the Mishnah. They don't know what it says in the Gemara. They don't know what it's based on. So the Minchas Yehud, they write that was the whole difference. That was the whole difference. That the Vilna Gaon introduced a new Derech HaLimud. That you go Mirakala Lakovich. This new startling, innovative notion that you should first learn Chumash and then you learn Mishnais and then you learn Gemara and then only afterwards you learn Shulchan Aruch. So you'll understand everything properly. So he writes there in the introduction, very fascinating. They started a Harusa together. They planned to learn together for 6 years. They were going to knock off a Seder every year. They were going to learn through Zeroyim in 1 year. Then the second year already, they didn't finish all of Moed. First year, I think he says they did finish. I think says they finished Zeroyim in the first year. Then I think Moed, they didn't finish the second year. Then they're ready the third year. The Rav Chaim Volozhin has sent them a letter to the Nachal of David that needs them back in the yeshiva. He wants them to give shiurim, and that was the end of his chavrus. So he writes, that he has a sefer Ha'oris on all of Shas, a thin sefer. Ha'oris on all of Shas. So he's the one who has that comment on this Gemara, on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Minchas Yehuda, that he heard from the Nachal of David, who heard from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that when Rav Chaim Volozhiner heard that Hasidim started this new practice of not eating gibrochs on Pesach, that he went to Vilna, he traveled specially to Vilna, to ask the Vilna Gaon what his opinion is. So with the Vilna Gaon, that's all you had to do, tell the Vilna Gaon that the Hasidim started a new minhag. So he, of course, held that it's not right. So he ate gibrochs in the presence of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and then he put a knedel in the window that everybody in Vilna should know. But he doesn't believe in gibrochs. He doesn't believe. That's the source of the Minchas Yehuda on this Gemara, on Lamed Tes on the base. One little paragraph, and that's it. They quote it in the later history books, in the later Sunday quotes. They used to ask the kasha, Rav Soloveitchik used to chuckle whenever he would say this over. They ask the kasha that if the Hasidim are so medactic, they're so choshish for gibrochs, so how do they eat matzah on Pesach night? The saliva is also bolei dechemes. The Gemara says saliva can be matnes. The Gemara talks about chewing. Here, look, the Mishnah, alam etasim beis liyul asadim chitim liyaneich hamakostoy. You shouldn't chew flour, or you shouldn't chew kernels of grain, and then make a paste in your mouth and put it on a wound for medical purposes. Because it'll turn it to chametz because of the saliva. They see the saliva is not treated like meperis. It is machmet. It is boli dechimit. So if saliva is machmet, so how can you eat any matzah? There's always gibrochs. So they say that they once asked this to a chassid. They said, what kind of a foolish question is that? Eser deichel oisese. So mitzvah says to eat matzah, so you're allowed to be deichel oisese of eating chometz. it's a little bit humorous. If the matzah turns into chametz, then it's not matzah. You don't say eser dechel es eser on that. Anyway, it's a minig that the chassidim started, not the gebroch. That's why, since it's only a midas chassidus, so the minig is that on the last day, on the eighth day of Pesach, they do eat gebroch. In order to, that it says in the earlier achrayim. The Shulchan Aruch writes, the Mechaber writes a chumra not to eat dried out fruits on Pesach. Because, let's say, not to eat the raisins and not to eat dried out the prunes, whatever they sell in the stores, all the dried out fruits, because how do we know where they manufacture it? Maybe they put some, maybe they drop some chametz, maybe they drop some chametz out. Now it's a bigger problem, maybe they drop chametz. Now they have a release agent. Now what they do is, when they have this on a conveyor belt and they put it through an oven or something and they have it dry it out, a lot of these dried out fruits, so they spray something on the conveyor belt, they spritz something on, or they pour something on, so that later on, after it's all dried out, you'll be able to remove it very easily and it shouldn't get stuck to the conveyor belt. That's called the release agent. So when they put the ingredients of the food that they're selling to you, the government of America does not require that they have to write what release agent they're using. That's not one of the ingredients of the thing. So sometimes they'll use chazashmalt and sometimes they'll use chametz. They don't have to write that in the ingredients. That's not. So sometimes they discover that they use as a release agent. And these dried out fruits, they use chametz mamish, they use treifas mamish. That's a problem of kashrus. You need a hashgacha for water. You need hashgacha and everything, because you can never tell where they're warming up the water. They may be warming it up in treifas kelim. They may be cooking, they may be drying out their fruits in a treifas fashion. Anyway, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have this release agent. They all knew that everything was kosher. The only chashash was that maybe one of the goyish workers is drinking a little schnapps and maybe he's eating a sandwich at the time that he's baking out the raisins or whatever, so maybe a little chametz fell in. Maybe there's a little mashu of chametz. So all of Pesach the Mechaber recommends, you should be machmer. And then the Achrayim had a minute that at the eighth day of Pesach, they want to demonstrate that it's muta mikra din, so you're allowed to have the dried out fruits. Whatever is only a chumre, whatever is only a midas chassidus, not to eat. So on the last day, you can have it. So that's why the chassidim, most of the chassidim have the minig that on the last day of Pesach, they bedav kedui gebroks, in order to demonstrate that it's only a chumra. So that's what the story of gebroks is based on. So the Gemara Mem Amar Aleph discusses what if you have bleached flour. Can you use, that's called lisisa. When you bleach the flour, the kernels of grain grow in the dirt. So it's all full of filth, it's all full of dirt. So if you're not going to bleach the grain, you're not going to wash it off in advance. You don't bleach it with bleach. You bleach it with water. If you're not going to wash off, that's called bleached flour. It means you washed it off with water. So if you're not going to clean it off with water, you're going to have filthy matzahs. They're going to be black. Not black from the baking. It's going to be black from the dirt, from the film. So the Gemara has a chumra that you shouldn't use. You shouldn't do the sisa. You shouldn't bleach the flour in advance. And that's what the goyim call kemach min ashuk. The regular flour that they sell in all the stores was bleached. So mikir adin kemach min ashuk really is mutter, because when they have a stack of kernels of grain, and they wash it off, the water goes down. They don't leave it in a bowl to let it soak for a long period of time. They have it on a stack, and they pour water on it, and the water goes down. And even the bottom kernels of grain also don't sit in the water. It's on a grape or something, that the kernels of grain will not fall through, and the water will go through. So it just takes moments, and all the water goes down, and it dries off, 1, 2, 3. So mikra din, there's no problem, it's only a chumra. That's how the Goyim say, Shulchan Aruch is quoted, if you got stuck at Big Shas Hadchak, and the only way to bake matzahs is by using kemach min ashuk, even though the Goyim did lisisa on it, even though they bleached it, so mikra din, the halacha says that it's mutar. The Radvaz lived in Egypt in the 1500s, so he writes that that's no longer so, that they developed a new technique where they bleach the flour so well that they soak it for a long period of time, and they make it much cleaner than they did in the days of the Gemara, the days of the Goyim. So the bleached flour today may be a hashash of chometz nukshe. Chometz nukshe is what we mentioned the other day. So the Gemara has in the third parak. The Gemara talks about chimutz is the process. So the beginning of the process is called seor, and the Gemara of the process is called siduk. We mentioned the Mishnah memches on the base. So that's what the Radbaz writes, that the way they bleached the flour in the 1500s was so advanced already that it may have already reached the stage of the beginning of the chametz process, and it may even be chametz dogen gomer, may even be a tarugus of chametz dogen gomer. And that's what the later achranim, the Chemi quotes, the later achranim say that as the years went by, so they kept on bleaching it better and better haste, that they did it in such a way that it had that it really had chametz. There was a big scandal here in America, I think 2 or 3 years ago, that it was written up in all the newspapers. The Congress made a whole investigation about it. The chevre, the characters who were selling flour, want to make more money, so they sell it by the weight, not by the volume. So in order that it should weigh more money, in order that it should weigh more, that they should charge more, so they used to pour in a lot of water. You can't tell because the water gets absorbed in the flour. So they have a big container full of flour, and then they would pour in a lot of water, so it would weigh much more. So they were doing this for a couple of years until they finally caught on that they're cheating the public. So they stopped it. The Congress wasn't worried about chametz. So in America, the stomach comes, and now they put it into it. They didn't put it in, whatever it is. But that's not called kemach menashuk anymore. Now that we know, number one, that they do such a fine job of the sisa like they did in the days of their advaz in Egypt, so the kemach menashuk, the standard flour that they sell in the stores, may be chametz nukshin, may even be chametz dogen gomer. That's why there's a problem. A lot of people think you only have to sell chametz. You don't have to sell flour. Flour, you didn't mix the flour with water yet. So a lot of people think they don't have to sell, just like you don't have to sell kidneys, you have to sell, let's say, beans, bevelach, whatever. So a lot of people think you don't have to sell flour. No, it's not correct. The question whether you're allowed to sell flour. Those who are choshish not to sell chametz dogen gomer, maybe that the flour is considered chametz dogen gomer. We're not sure if it's tarum is chametz dogen gomer, or if it's the end, whether it's more than 50% or less than 50%. But for sure, you should at least sell the flour. You shouldn't. A lot of people buy flour in advance. They buy sacks of flour in advance, so that right after Pesach is over, they'll have flour. So that's like buying, mamas, that's like buying cake and cookies and bread, to buy in advance in order to sell the flour. That's not right.
No.
The din is if you have food, let's say I have nevela, I have ham from the AMP. So if the ham is not roi l'achilas adam, let's say it's raw, nobody would eat the ham raw. So that's not called nifsam achilas adam. By chometz you have to have nifsam achilas akelet. By treifis it's enough nifsam achilas adam. So nifsam achilas adam means if I leave it out of the refrigerator and it gets spoiled and it rots and it smells and it decomposes, that's called nifsam. But let's say it's raw meat, nobody would eat it the way it is. You have to cook it. So that's not called nifsam achilas adam. Here also you have raw flour. Nobody would eat it the way it is. Why not? You have to cook it first. If it would rot, if it would turn wormy, then it'd be called nifsam achilas adam. But this is not nifsam achilas anything. This adayin lo tiknu es hamaychal. Raw is not called, let's say you have raw potatoes. That's not roi l'achilas adam. Animals will eat raw potatoes, but human beings usually don't eat raw potatoes. That's not called nifsam achilas adam. Adayin lo tiknu, you didn't cook it yet. So that's a big issue. Remember years ago, maybe 25 years ago, when there were Jews in Russia, the Russian government didn't let them, they didn't let in the matzahs in many communities. They sent matzahs, they didn't deliver it till after Pesach. It's amazing. They kept it in the post office, and then after Pesach they would give them the matzahs. Just lahachas. So the people from the SSSJ, whatever, they were sending instructions to the Jews in Russia how they bake matzahs. The Shah says, what are they going to get? Where are they going to get flour to bake the matzahs? They're going to use kemach min hashuk. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, okay, we can make them on the kemach min hashuk. But the Shah said, what kind of kemach min hashuk? If they have bleached flour the way we have, that's not kemach min hashuk. It's either nuksha or taruv is chometz dogen gomer, chometz dogen gomer b'yen. So I remember they gave them instructions that in the little villages, and the little villages in Russia, they had flour like Koidim, the 1500s of the Radbaz. They were so backward. In the big cities, it was like in America. It was already past the days of the Radbaz. They had real bleached flour. But in the little villages, the flour was filthy. The mamish dirty. They didn't bleach it. Or the slight bleaching that they did wasn't such a gewaldig good job. So sometimes you still have kemach min hashuk. In some villages, you still have kemach min hashuk.
Can you buy any bleached flour?
If you know for sure that they didn't soak it with water. This is the new tzara that they have now. They say it's unbleached flour, but a lot of times they soak liquid in order to make more money. That's why there was a, that's why there's a whole tumult about coffee, whether you're allowed to use regular coffee without a hechsher. Because during the Second World War, when the government was using all the boats for the war effort, so there weren't so many boats to bring coffee to America, so there was very little coffee. So in order that the coffee manufacturers should make more money, so they used to mix in flour into the coffee. They used to mix in regular, and all the spices also like that. They didn't have enough spices in America. So the spice companies didn't want to tell everybody that they don't have enough for everybody. So they filled in all of this, all the little jars of spices. They would fool the public, and then mix in flour, and everything would blend in. It's all chemical. The chemical all looks like it's flour anyway, and no one knew the difference. So that's why at that time, after the Second World War, people realized that you have to have. You can never tell what they're selling you. They say that it's flour. They say that it's spices, or they say that it's coffee. And they may have mixed in regular flour. So when you're going to mix it, you're going to cook it. You're going to make your food into hummus. So that's why now we insist that we can't rely on the companies. We insist that we should have hashgacha on everything. They may be selling us hummus. The Gemara makes a statement on Lamed Hamid Beis that may peris a machmitzin, that the only time something becomes hummus is if it's one of the five kinds of grain. Chameshes mine dogan, wheat and barley, and the variations of wheat and variations of barley, and it's mixed in with water. But it's only mixed in with may peris, then it doesn't pose a problem. That's the top line on Lamed Hamid Beis. There's a problem though, because the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Aleph says that if you mix flour with may peris, it'll be memahir lahachmus. It may even turn into chametz earlier. So a contradiction, the two amudim of Gemara. What is Lamed Hamid Beis? They're facing each other. Lamed Hamid Beis, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph contradict each other. The Rashi and Tosfos have two ways to resolve this theory, and the Rishonim are split what the answer is. Rashi says the answer to this theory is like this: May peris emachmitz, when it says here, means that it can never become chametz dog and gomer. And the next daf, when it says it's memar lahachmitz, yes, it means that the chametz process will begin earlier, but it'll never ever complete itself. The chametz process will never. The chametz is a process. The beginning of the process is called nukshe, and the gemar of the process is called chametz dog and gomer, where you have kares. And may peris ay machmitzin means it never gets to the last stage. It'll never become chametz dog and gomer. But the beginning of the stage of chametz process, it will become, and not only will become, it'll even be memar lahachmitz. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi based on Gemaras. They say that it just doesn't fit in with grain, with flour. So the water is going to turn into chametz. So just like if the room is hot above a normal room temperature, then it's going to be memar lahachmitz. So it's over here. If you mix in the water with a little bit of a may peris, with a significant amount of may peris, then it'll be memar lahachmitz. That's the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So because of this opinion of Rashi, even though mikra din we really don't pass like this, but because of Rashi's opinion that he holds that may peris alone are machmitzin, except that it'll never become chametz dog and gomer, it'll become chametz nukshe. So chametz nukshe you also not allowed to eat. So that's why the Ramah says a meaning that we don't eat matzah nilosha b'mei peris all of Pesach, because we are afraid that we cannot control it, and it may have turned into chametz without us realizing it. He says, but mikra din it's really mutus, so and that's why he says for cholim eskenim you can be meikah. Rabban Soloveitchik, when he took over the hashgacha on strikes many years ago, 40 years ago, close to 40 years ago. So at that time he was unhappy with the egg matzah. How can he sell egg matzah? Says in the Ramah that you're not allowed to sell. So he introduced a new thing. He said that the whole chumrah of Rashi in the Ramah, when does something become chametz? If you mix chameshis mini dogma, if you mix flour with water and you leave it belih hisaskus, what if you have constant hisaskus the whole time? Then the Gemara says that it cannot possibly turn into chametz. Afilu kalayam kulo. The Gemara has an expression. If there's constant hisaskus, even if it's not baked all day long, it'll not become chametz. That's why Rabban Soloveitchik introduced a new, as he called it, a new clapper, a new machine that doesn't serve any function other than banging all of the dough all the time. So it has constant hisaskus all day, all the time. So it never sits even for a moment of time without hisaskus. So he thought that Mikra din his egg matzahs, that Streitzer's was manufacturing, was mutter for everybody. But just the people are going to tie in egg matzahs. How can you allow egg matzahs? He put in Hebrew on the box, it's mutter rak l'chelim of his cane. But people complained to him afterwards, why do you put it in Hebrew that people don't know what that means? So he said, no, Mikra Adin Hizek Matzah Amutah for everybody, because it has constant fasaskas the whole time. That's what he said. He introduced a new thing that bangs on a door. I don't know if Manashev has that. Manashev sells egg matzahs. They probably do. No? I don't know if Stripe still has. We've got to find it. Anyway, that's the story with the egg matzahs.
What about Nekiras that has water in it already?
Honey
doesn't have water mixed in it, but it's
orange juice.
Is that considered
Nekiras? What do you have? Reconstituted orange juice? Regular orange juice? No, regular, let's say, milk and wine, all Nekiras contain a certain high percentage of H2O. But we treat that all as Nekiras. If you evaporate all the water and then you reconstitute it, so then we won't treat it like that. Then we'll say that the water that was added later on is water, then it will be machnis. Very strange. I don't know why, but that's what we assume.
How can you experiment
That's a good kasha. I don't know. The Gemara, the Talmud, Yerushalmi, yes, on the machlitz, Abiyach Manuri, and the Rabbanan, by Oriz V'Dechim, why didn't they experiment? The Talmud, Yerushalmi, says they did experiment, and it turned out to be something halfway between Tzirchon and Chimutz, and that was their machlokes. Apparently we today have lost the yacht. We don't know exactly what chimutz is supposed to look like. Even if we'll experiment, we won't know what we're looking at. I don't know. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk of Lechem Oni. There's a Kri and Ksiv on Lechem Oni. The Ksiv is Oni, and the Kri is Oni. So what do you do when there's a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv? So there's usually a Machloikis HaTanoim and Sanhedrin Dabdalit and other places where you say Yeshem LaMikro or you say Yeshem LaMasara. Should you follow the Ksiv or should you follow the Kri? And Tesis writes there in Sanhedrin Dabdalit, whenever you can have a drosha where you blend in the Kri and the Ksiv together, then you pass them like both. So that's what we do over here also. By the Lechem Oni, there's a Kri and the Ksiv. So we darshan both. We pass them both by like the Ksiv and like the Kri. There's no conflict between the two. So we darshan lechem oni. Lechem sh'onim olad varim harbeh. And we also say lechem oni. On kuf tezayinim and aleph. The top line, madarka shaloni bepruso. Avkam bepruso. That you should have a broken matzah. Tesis on the top tesis on kuf tezayin. Has a machloikis harishonim. How does this fit in with the din that we require lechem mishnah on Shabbos and Yom Tov zechel amon, a double portion of mon came down on every erev Shabbos and on every erev Yom Tov, even though the pasuk it only says Shabbos, pasuk says only that the mon didn't come down on Shabbos. Shabbos you're not allowed to carry, but on Yom Tov when you're allowed to carry, so how do you know the mon didn't come down? So Taisa said that's the gemara, the first daf in Beitzah. So it's beferish like that. The whole din of Hachana the Rabbe is based on the assumption that the mon did not come down on Yom Tov. So it says the Mechilta seems perhaps to contradict it, that the Berch of Amon, by Baruch HaLikim Yisrael HaShvei, the Akkadah shows the Berch of Amon, Kitsh of Amon, Rashi and Chumash quotes it, Berch of Amon, Kitsh of Amon, that the mon didn't come down on Shabbos, and the mon came down a double portion on Erev Shabbos. But you say, in the Kiddush we say, Berach Temekol HaYom, Kiddash Temekol HaZman. What do you say? Berach Temekol HaYom, Kiddash Temekol HaZman. More so than Yom Tov also. That the mon didn't come down on Shabbos. The Tesis deals with that. They say, it can't be. It's against the Gemara either. It's a Machleke Satanoi. Or it just meant that the mon tasted better on Shabbos than it did on Yom Tov. Cholent. The mon tasted whatever we wanted to taste like. So on Shabbos, they wanted to taste like chomps. It tastes like chomps. On Yom Tov, they didn't want it to taste like chomps. Didn't they? Whatever it is, we follow the Talmud Bavli that we assume on the first daf in Beitzah. So the mon did not come down. Not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So you have to have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Zeichel Amon. Reb Shlomo Levilna has a little bit of a humorous kash in his sefer. When you have 2 days in a row, like this year, you have Yom Tov Shchali is Be'er Shabbos, so why don't you? So a triple portion came down. Because the mon didn't come down 2 days in a row. So a triple portion. How come we don't require, I don't know how you call it, Lechem Meshulash, the Trinity? Maybe that's the reason why they never wanted to do it. People think we're subscribing to the Trinity. So why? That's his kasha. Why don't we require lechem l'shulash? See, Hazi, who's bothered with the kasha, he has the kasha when he was a little child. He was bothered with the kasha many years, and he finally heard a teretz. I don't know. He has a hole in the binyan Shlomo. Shlomo the Vilna was such a genius. He knew all, he was a poki nifla. He knew all the normal teretz. He knew from all the svarim. What is he going to write a shtickle teretz? Everything shteichshain. So his sefer, he only writes these kind of things. Everything else is already printed. What is he going to write over? He's going to write something that someone else wrote. So this is what he has in his sefer binyan Shlomo. Anyway, so Taisus has this kasha. What do you do on Leil Pesach? On the one hand, you have to have Lecha Mishneh, because it's a chayontif like every yomtif. And on the other hand, you have to have a prusa. So how does it stem the Lecha Mishneh with the prusa? So Taisus has two opinions how to have the two dinim jive. So one opinion is the way we pass, and you have 2.5 matzahs. That solves your problem. You have 2 shleimas for the Lecha Mishneh, that's for one mitzvah, Zeich Alamon, and then you have the prusa for the mitzvah of matzah. The two distinct mitzvahs. The Lecha Mishneh is for the mitzvah of Suras Yontif, and the Prus is for the mitzvah of Matzah. Then Taisa has another opinion, that's the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam, the Rif, the only going hold like that. No. Madarki Shaloni. Madarki Shaloni Beprusa. What kind of a Prusa? If you have 2.5 Matzahs, that's not Darki Shaloni to have 2.5, 2 Shleimas and 1 Prusa. No. Madarka Shlomo Prusa means you're not supposed to have 2 shleimos. Manishtana alayla zemikol alaylas. This night has to be different from all the other nights. You bedavke should not have 2 shleimos. You should bedavke have 1.5 matzahs. You take 2 matzahs, then you make yachatz in the beginning, and then you make 1.5 out of the 2. But if you're going to have 3, and you're going to make 2.5, so 2.5 is way more than any oni has. You got to have 1.5. So to show that Pesach is a Prusa. So lechor it's a fundamental machlokes arishanim. Different practices, bismanas, where they have 2.5 matzah, 1.5 matzahs. The Chor of the Machloikis is regarding the nature of the mitzvah of matzah. Is this a different, distinct mitzvah from the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif, or is it the same mitzvah? On Pesach night, you should fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif by having a prusa. You should not fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif by having 2 shleimas. You should fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif by having a prusa. That's exactly the Machloikis. And the Shulchan Aruch says that we follow the opinion you need 2.5 matzahs. That means that we treat it as 2 different mitzvahs. One mitzvah to have Sudas Yontif, one mitzvah to have matzah. That's why the Mechaber quotes in another sim, and the Mechaber quotes the Rosh, that when you say Hamoitzin, you say Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos HaTzvanu Al Achidas Matzah, you should eat 2 kezaisim. One kezais from the Shleimah to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif, and one kezais from the Prutza to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So the Mishnah Brura has a taina against the Mechaber. Why did he quote the Rosh? He thinks that most Rishonim would not agree with the Rosh. He thinks. He quotes some other, I think another 2 Rishonim who say the same as the Rosh. Mishnah Brura quotes, but he thinks that most of Rishonim would not agree with the Rosh. This is in the Bir Halacha. And he doesn't understand why the Mechaber quoted such a Shita Yechidah that you got to have 2 different Kezaisim when you say Moitzi Matzah. Why isn't it sufficient with 1 kezai? So the pashtus is that this issue whether you need 1 kezai or 2 kezai, this is exactly the machlokes, whether you need 2.5 matzahs or 1.5 matzahs. If you say you need 2.5 matzahs, that means that they're 2 different mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Sudas Yontav Lechud, you need 2 shleimas, and then the mitzvah of matzah Lechud. 2 different mitzvahs, you need 2 kezai. But if you hold that it's 1.5, like the Vilna Gaon, following the Rif and the Rambam, and the other 2 opinions and tesis, the top tesis kuf tezainim now. Taisus has the 2 opinions. If you follow the other opinion, what you're saying in effect is that it's the same mitzvah. Then on Leil Pesach, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif is not by having bedavki. You should not have lecha mishneh of 2 shleimas. The bedavki had less than lecha mishneh. You should have 1.5. So then of course it's only necessary to have 1 kezayis. So once the Shulchan Aruch passed and said you have 2.5, then what is he getting so excited? Why the Mechaber writes like the Rosh, you need 2 kezayis? It's hobah hatalia. If you want to insist that 1 kezayis is enough, then you got to say 1.5 is enough. So say like the Rambam then. Once you say you need 2.5, then you got to be machman that you need 2 kezayis. Chayr, chayr it's haba hatalya.
You have 2.5
So when you say Hamotzi Lach Menorot, you're holding on to the two Shleimas. And then after you said Hamotzi, then you put down at least one of the Shleimas. I'll put up both Shleimas, whatever. And then you're holding on to the Prusa. Either holding on one and a half or a half. And then you say the Bracha Alachilas Matz. And then you eat a Kazayis from the broken one, a Kazayis from the full one, to fulfill the two distinct mitzvahs of both Suras Yantuf and Matz. The Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch, meaning from the Agudah, from other Rishonim, that on Leil Pesach we don't salt the matzahs. And they give two different reasons. One reason they give is that the Gemara says in Brachas that the only time you have to salt the bread is when the bread doesn't taste so good. But if the bread is very tasty, let's say you buy delicious raisin challah from the store on Friday. You make your own raisin. It tastes delicious without any salt. You don't need salt to add any flavor. So in the Gemara it says that you don't have to add on any salt. The purpose of the salt is to make it tasty. So the Ramah quotes that reason. So he says, on Leil Pesach, all the matzahs taste heavenly. They all taste delicious. And there's no need for any salt. Then the Rishonim give, the Aguda gives a different time that the Ramah does not quote. It gives a different time. Because b'choshesh that maybe it's a matzah ashira. That the Gemara darshins from the Pasuk, lechem oni. The Kriya Ksiv, so the Ksiv is Oni, Lechem Oni, that you shouldn't use Matzah Ashira, you should use Davka Lechem Oni. So Lechem Oni, Matzah Ashira comes to the exclusion of several different things. The Gemara has on Lamed Vav and Aleph, if you mixed in May Peris, if you mixed in Issa Sheni Losha, B'yayin Shem and Vash B'cholov, so the Gemara says that's called Matzah Ashira. That's one example. Or the Gemara has another case of a Matzah Ashira, if you have an Ashisha, you have a matzah that's gigantic, very, very big size matzah. If it's very big, luska gedoyla. If it's very big, then it's echad mishisha be'efor. Well, how much is that? You've got to multiply to see. It's a gigantic matzah. The Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, that's why the meaning is that we make more or less small size matzahs. Those big things that we have are small. Those big matzahs are considered small. You can make a bigger matzah than that. If it's too big, then it's a chashash that it's going to become an ashisha. Then the Gemara has also cholut. If you have a matzah sheni bashlo, it's also considered matzah ashira. That's what the Gemara says. You're not yotze mem aleph ha menal. The Gemara has a brisa that you're not yotze with a matzah mevushelis. And it's a little unclear what's wrong with it. So Tosis has two pshatim. So the second pshat in Tosis for Rima Foresh that a matzah mevushelis is no good because it's called matzah ashira. The first pshat in the Tosfos is the popular pshat in Hilchos Shabbos. The first day in Tosfos says if you have a matzah that was originally baked and then you cook it later, so the bishul, I say, even though ain bishul acha bishul vein afi achar afi alo yesh bishul acha afi yesh afi acha bishul, that chumra for nireim is based on the first pshat in Tosfos. Rashi in the first pshat in Tosfos here, not like the second pshat, that if you have a matzah that was baked and then you cook it, so the bishul, I say yesh bishul achar afiyah, and I say now it's a matzah mevushelis, and the bishul is mevatali afiyah. I say it's not considered afuyah. If you have a matzah that is not, it once had an afiyah, but it was just mevatali afiyah. If you have a matzah that doesn't have an afiyah, doesn't have a lasting effect of an afiyah, so then sometimes it won't be considered lechem. Sometimes it won't be yotze the mitzvah matzah is not called, it has to be lechem, it has to be oni. So lechem means it has to be pas, it has to have a din of hamotzi lechem and oretz on it. The Rambam says you want a yotze on such bread that you can say hamotzi lechem and oretz. If you can't say hamotzi, let's say you're going to have flour with water. So if you stir it together, oatmeal cereal, something like that. So you say all year long you say bari minim zaynus on that. You don't say hamotzi. Even if you eat a ton of it, you don't say hamotzi on that. Spaghetti, I'll be pashta. Even if you eat a ton of spaghetti, the pashta says you know, even if you kaveh suda, that's not called pas habobikisna. It's not called pas at all. There's just bari minim zaynus. So here also, if you want to have something for matzah that can never become hamotzi lechem and haaretz, then it can't be called lechem oni. It's not good for matzah, the Rambam says. So this first pshat in Tosfos says, if you're going to be mevashel, the matzah, then the bishul is mevatel, I say yesh bishul achar afiyo, so it's mevatel the effect of the afiyo, then it'll cancel the status of lechem. Why? Because lechem that didn't have an afiyo that left a lasting effect is not called lechem. So Tosfos says, is that true? Is that taka the din? That if the lechem didn't have a lasting effect from an afiyah, it doesn't have the status of lechem. The Tosfos on Memalef and Alef refers you to the previous daf where the Rabbeinu Tam has a whole idea. It's not the previous daf. It's a little earlier than the previous daf. Lama tes on the base. There's a long place. It's the kuli alma. Lama zayin on the base. Excuse me. Lama zayin on the base. Happens to be in brachas also daf lama zayin. It's in brachas daf lama zayin on the base, and it's here in psachim daf lama zayin on the base. Happens to be the same daf. That the Rabbi Natan, based on a contradiction between what he considered a contradiction between two gemaras, came up with this new idea, and this was accepted by all the Balei HaTosafot. We happen not to pass like this from A to Z. We don't pass like this. This is how the Rabbi Natan held, and all the Balei HaTosafot held, that in order to be called lechem, you need either a fia or a blila ova. If you had a blila ova, a thick dough, like when you make challah, so you have a thick dough, and when you make cookies, a lot of times you just pour it. It's a batter. That's called a blila rako. If you have a blila rako, then you have to have an afia later that it should get a shem lechem. If you had a blila ova, even if you do a bisha later on, it will have a shem lechem. So Tosis interprets this gemara that if a matzah is mevushelis, it's no good for the mitzvah matzah, because the bisha yesh bisha lachar afia, bisha is mevatel, the lasting effect of the afia. And if it was a matzah that never had a blila ova to begin with, it only had a blila rako, so you had neither lisha nor afia, so it doesn't have a shem lechem. That's why it's no good. But the second opinion of Tosfos, that's what the whole Yireim Schumer is based on. Yesh Bishul Lachar Afir, Yesh Afir HaBishul. But the second shot in Tosfos is not so. Even if the matzah had originally Blila Ovo. And if it's not going to have an Afir, it's still going to be called Lechem. But still, it's a matzah Ashiro. Anything that's Mavushal is going to be soft. Soft matzah is matzah Ashiro. So you're not Yetzi Yidei Chavis HaMitzah. That's why it is told in the name of the Beis HaLevi. Some say the name of Rav Chaim Volozhin, like that. That they followed the practice of the Vilna Gaon, the 8 Dibroks on Pesach, but they wouldn't eat Kneidlach the first 2 days of Pesach. Because of the Rambam. The Gemara says on Lamed Vav and Aleph that Matzah Ashira is not acceptable, not allowed. Not allowed for what? The Pashup Shah is not allowed for the mitzvah on Leil HaSeder. So the Rambam has a different shot. The Rambam says you're not allowed to bake matzah ashira on the first 2 days of Pesach, because on the first day in Eretz Yisrael, first 2 days in Chutz Lord, we want to have a zecher to the lechemoni all day long. We want to have a zecher. The Gemara's lashon is and Lamed Vav and Al Gemara says Hobi Yontav Rishon, Hobi Yontav Sheni. So Rashi learns Pshat Yontav Rishon doesn't mean all day long. It means Laila HaRishon. Then you mechuyev to eat matzah mitzvah. It has to be lechemoni, so you can't use matzah shira for the mitzvah. But Rashi, the Beis Yosef points out, Rashi clearly holds that it's not a din the whole Yom Rishon. You're not allowed to. And the Rambam learns not so. The Rambam learns the whole Yom HaRishon on Chutzlos, the whole first 2 days, you're not allowed to have lechemoni. So according to the Rambam, if you put two and two together, if you hold that a matzah mubusheles is called matzah ashiro, like the ri and daf mem aleph and aleph, and you follow the Rambam's chumra that you're not allowed to have lechemoni the whole first day, the whole first 2 days, so then it comes out you're not allowed to have kneidlach the first 2 days of Pesach, because kneidlach is a matzah mubusheles, so it's called the matzah ashiro. But most people don't have that chumra. Most people follow the Rashi. The Rashi says "Hobi Yoy Makama" just means for the mitzvah, that you're not yet to the mitzvah with matzah shir. The din is that one could be yet to matzah with matzah mel also, as long as it's not with the shells. Let's say a person doesn't have has false teeth or whatever, they can't chew. So you can be yotzer with matzah milk. The malach has to be dafke hard like a rock. That mechuyev to chew it on their own. Gemara says the ferish. Shulchan Aruch says the ferish. Be yotzer with matzah milk. Just a shaila. The Magen Avraham says in Shulchan Aruch that you can matzah shvuya is good. The Gemara says Yotzim Baraka Kashorui Avalob Mavushal. That's on Mem Aleph Amin Aleph. The Gemara has a brace. Yotzim Baraka Kashorui Avalob Mavushal. So Baraka Kashorui means even if it's soaked in water. What if it's soaked in wine? What if you want to soak the matzah in apple cider, would that be good? So the Magen Avraham says that that's no good. Why should it be no good? Mevushal is no good either, because Mevushal is lechem is matzah ashira, because Bishul is mevatla afia, and you need afia in order that it should have a shame lechem. But what's wrong if you soaked it in wine or in apple cider as opposed to water? Why should it be a difference? Very shvera Magen Avraham. So they quote b'shem Rab Chaim in Chedushim Mepia Shmua that he disagreed with the Magen Avraham. He said, no, the statement that the Magen Avraham quotes, I think from the Trumas Hadesh and one of the real Achronim, that's talking about Afikoyman. Afikoyman you shouldn't soak in wine or in apple cider, because it says in the end of the Masechta that we want to have Kadesh Heitam Matzah B'fiv. So you want him to maintain the flavor of the matzah. So if he's going to soak the matzah in wine, he's going to soak the matzah in apple cider. So he's not going to have the flavor of wine. He's going to have the flavor of the juice that he soaked it in. But on the first kezayis, so the kezayis of Koirach, the matzah for the Koirach, so they quote Rishem Abchaim that he didn't think that you have to be machmir not to soak it in juices. They quote the Rab Chaim Valoshiner did not follow that chumra, that practice of the Ramah. Oh, sorry, I never finished the whole story. So there's a din that you're not allowed to have lechem oni. You're not allowed to have matzah shira on Pesach. So matzah shira means matzah shen losho, the yain shem and dvash v'cholav. That's one kind of matzah shira. What if I have, let's say, a matzah and then I shmir on margarine to the seder? Or the person has a matzah, shmura matzah, and he shmirs on jam. So is there anything wrong with that? So if you say you can't soak it in juices, maybe you shouldn't shmir on jam. Let's say you're not choshish about the soaking of juices. Would you be allowed to shmir on jam or not? So that poses a problem. It might pose a problem of mitzvahs mevatel zu azu. The Gemara says that there was a machlokes hilul nachachamim. If you eat matzah and mora together, they say mitzvahs mevatel zu azu, based on the premise that they all agree is that if you eat matzah with a dvar hoshus, then for sure the dvar hoshus will be mevatel dvar mitzvah. If it comes to a mitzvah sachil, you have to eat it separately from anything else. Alright. Let's say you just have a mashuhu. You don't put on a heavy coat of jam on top of the matzah. You just put a tiny little bit. And Taisis claims that then you wouldn't say mitzvahs mevatlas, so just put a little bit on top. Would that pose a problem? Would that pose a problem of matzah ashira? Is that considered matzah ashira because you put on jam? The pashtus is, all the rishonim have a raya in the Gemara that no, it's only called matzah ashira if the ashirus is there before the afia, at the time that you baked it. At the time that it became a matzah, it was already a matzah ashira. But if it already became a lechem oni, and then later on you add the ashiras on top, you put on the jam later on, the pashtus is it doesn't become matzah ashira. The asam rishonim hold not so. So that's what the aguda says. You should be choshish for those rishonim and not put salt on the matzahs after they're baked, because that may elevate it to the level of matzah ashira. Putting on salt afterwards may convert it into matzah ashira. So those are the two reasons that are given why the minig was for so many generations not to salt the matzahs on Leil Pesach. Either because you have to have matzah lechem oni, you're not allowed to have matzah shira, or the Ramah says because they taste delicious. Oh, you learn they used to eat dried out pumpernickel, tasted awful. So you had to put chotch a little salt, that it should have a little flavoring to it. On Leil Pesach, they had delicious tasting matzah. So they quote the Rav Chaim Alojan, it wasn't choshish for either of these reasons, that he did salt the matzah on Pesach night. Nunu. So those who are descendants of Rav Chaim Alojan and Muslims should maintain the family traditions. But most people are not. Most people follow the Ramah. They don't follow Rav Chaim Alojan. Rav Chaim Alojan had a lot of unusual hanhagas. This is not so unusual. But they had a lot of very unusual hanhagas. Okay, Lineta, tomorrow we'll continue. We should have an early Shia tomorrow. Okay, it's an idea. What time is early? 6 o'clock. No, it's too early. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Someone has another shear? There's another shear? Yeah. 10:30. 9:30. 9:30 is better. 9:30. How about 9:30? So 9:30. Thank you.
Stay home, she called.